Hey, this is Nikki, co-host of the Floor Recap podcast. Thanks for listening, and make sure to check out all of our shows. This is the Hopecast Network. Stories and shows you'll want to listen to.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of Movie Torture, where we watch bad movies so you don't have to. As always, we have the best man in the land, the guy with the tiny hands, Mr. Baby Hands Brad. We have the voice of the intro, the myth, the legend, the one and only Mr. Podfather Jacob. And as always, with us, the mysterious man, the man of legends, the man of mystery. Where are you, Mr. MTD? Probably on the beach, but who knows? Well, join us as we get to watch Where Are You, Car 54. Oh. Where are you?
You did such a great intro and then screwed the title.
Car 54, where are you? When you do that, it makes me think of Conan when he used to do in the year 2000.
Oh, that, yeah. So I was saying when we first started recording and then we had to come back, MTD says almost.
The first one was great. The first one was great.
The first was a great intro, but we had to redo because MTD couldn't hear. But I want to say, listeners, it's nice to have MTD on a Saturday because if we record and he's not here, it's usually a Saturday.
That's true. Because we wreck his day, because he's a busy man, and we're eating into a Saturday.
So I gotta open up with this today. It says nothing to do with this turd of a movie, but
great movie.
So there was a song I used to listen to. I've been in this old '90s country phase in the car, and
me too.
Yeah, hey, we're doing the same thing. I feel like
you got a truck, isn't it?
Yeah.
Truck, you're like, bring back the 90s country.
Yeah, that's me. I'm driving around listening to Ronnie Millsaps, as my dad corrected me yesterday on Smoky Mountain Rain. So this song I used to like by Holly Dunn, Daddy's Hands, came on. And my son, who's almost 13, was laughing. He's like, this is such a perverted song. I'm like, no, it's not. And he's like, I want to read to you the verse.
I'm going with Max already wrote this. I know the song, but I want to hear the verse, the lyrics.
Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying.
Daddy needs to keep his hands to himself.
Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong.
Oh, my goodness. Too.
Daddy's hands were always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always love in Daddy's hands.
Oh, boy. Speaking of,
I used to like that.
You still another song.
And then she says, "I'll never take for granted the love in Daddy's hands."
Oh, gross! Another song that was ruined for me recently because someone had some meme or reel pointed it out was Queen's "Another One Bites the Dust," which is It's about a mass shooting.
Oh, it is.
He's locked and ready. Ready to go, machine guns hanging, ready to blow. Don't. Another one bites the dust. Yeah, the thumps are the gunshots.
Okay, MTD, speaking of that song, MTD, you have to remember when we would go to, MTD and I would go to Hornet games, Charlotte Hornet games all the time. Mm-hmm. And after every time they'd win, in the arena, they would be playing Another One Bites the Dust. Stop. I bet they don't do that anymore. There's no way that the new NBA is playing Queen at their arenas. No.
Probably
way.
Not. But yeah, look up those lyrics sometimes and you'll be shocked. I was like, wow.
Well, that just makes that a weird song.
It does.
I like how we've talked about two songs, but we haven't even talked about MTD's.
That's what we do here on the movie
favorite
torture.
TV show. That's a kid.
Car 54, where are you?
I mean,
I have never seen the TV show, and I've never seen the movie until we watched it this moment.
We'll get to that. MTD, what was the budget and the gross in this movie? And by the way, this movie was shot in 1990.
And released 4 years later.
But was released 4 years later.
Was that a moment of like major regret from the producer? He's like, after they made it, like this movie, I don't know if we should release it. And they went back and forth for 4 years of deciding if it should finally be released. And they're like, let's just put it out there.
It was locked in the police vault.
It had to be or something.
Budget $10 million. That's a lot for this movie, because I made the comment, Jacob. I don't know if you remember this. I said the sets look like Saturday Night Live sets.
Yeah, I do remember.
They look horrible. Gross $1.2 million. Here, listeners, if this will play, here is.
The Bronx, Brooklyn's Bowling Alley fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights. There's a skunk who sawed a child who's still wet out of wild. Car 54.
Why was this show was in the 60s, right?
Was it the 50s?
50s or 60s. But why does every show from the 50s or 60s have the same theme song? You take that music and you have Green Acres. Oh. Or not Green Acres, but there's like a lot of those theme songs are pretty much the same.
Story about a man named Jed. Well, no, back then, Jacob, theme songs told the story to get you jazzed for the show.
They did. I mean, they truly did.
I missed the theme song. You know, you watch the Golden Girls, you got a good theme song.
I'm glad of all the TV shows you could come up with, you're like, the Golden Girls.
you got the growing pains. Show me that smile again.
I mean, even through the 90s, the same thing. Like, all shows back then, their theme song sold the show. Like, you could hear the tune immediately and know what show was coming on TV.
Yeah, like Seinfeld. You know, doink, doink, you know that's Seinfeld, right?
Yep.
Like, it's coming up.
You Cheers.
I'll be there for you.
Oh, worst Friends. Show ever.
I hate that show. We're such Friends bashers on here. We lost our half a listener.
We did. And they're like, I'm out. We were hanging on to one, and that just broke it.
Okay, wait. So I wanted to share this story. MTD is going to like this. I haven't got to tell him yet, MTD.
So it was 61.
It was 61. But this is another distraction. So Eric Dane just died. So we're dating this episode. He died. And Netflix dropped an interview with him that he recorded called Final Last Words. And basically, it's a private interview that's only released upon his death. And he talks to his kids at the end, he has a message that his final last words to his family.
Is that not kind of weird?
It is. So Elena, who's living with us, she said, Brad, would you ever want to do that? So I'm telling MTD this, and I'm like,
oh, no.
I've thought about recording a pod and then having it drop, like just keep resetting it every year to another year in case I meet my demise. The pod will drop and it'll be like, hey, Kristen, hey, Max, I just want to tell you that I love you. You know, something like that, right?
Well, one, you know Kristen ain't listening.
Hold on. Wait. You walked right into my bit. So I said to MTD, I told Elena, I'm like, that would be great. But the only one that would hear it would be Jacob because he subscribes. And then then I said, you know, a few years would pass, right? And Kristen would be like, honey, to her new husband, what's the pod my husband, my ex, my late husband used to be on? And Max would be like, I don't know, Dad, what was the one that Brad was on? And and they can't remember. So then MTD goes, well, they couldn't call me because I'm long gone. I said, yeah, you're in the wind at this
there
point.
There you go again, killing off MTD.
Oh, no, he's like the only one we killed. So then that MTD was like, maybe she could call. I said, Jacob's gone too, man. There's no way he's surviving. Yeah, you're dead too. And then I said, heart attack killed him. It's over. And then we said, Roger. And I said, oh, come on now. Roger, he's the picture of unhealth. He's gone, right? So then we said, Jonathan, and Jonathan, put, as he was putting the kids down, boom, dropped dead. So then we said, Hannah, and my dad was like, MTD was like, Hannah never returned the text.
It's true.
She just wouldn't return the text. And then we said, Gary, and I said, by this point, Gary's got dementia. He's alive, but he can't remember anything. I mean, Gary's memory's pretty bad.
So then, who are you recording this for?
Hold on. So then, I said, Trent, he stroked out. Trent stroked out. He's gone. We got nobody left.
Oh, yes, we do.
Oh, Minnesota Troy.
He's listening.
Ashley was gone in a, I can't even say this on air. I'll tell you off air how Ashley went. And so we had, who are we missing?
Troy's listening.
Oh, Troy ain't there. But we were laughing so hard. I was in Walmart. We were talking about this, and we were laughing so hard that. Kristen, she didn't see the humor in it. Like, I don't think she saw the humor in that. But
you know. I mean, I could see. Yeah, I understand. But it's
my
funny.
Part of the bit is when Max goes, I don't know, Dad, what podcast was Brad on? And asked me what was so funny.
What would be even funnier, though, is I am still around, and I'm sitting here listening every year because I'm waiting for my call out from you that never comes, and then our friendship ends. I'm like, now I'm revengeful of dead Brad because he never called me out in his final words.
I come up, and I'm like, this is the last video, or the last one I'll ever record. I've thanked everyone but you.
I listened for like 10 years waiting for my
I just want to thank Leo at the gas station at the Quick Trip. I really enjoyed you ringing me up every 5 days. Then you're like, no, and you pull a gun out and like shoot the TV or shoot the phone. That would
I make a follow up telling you I quit movie torture. I quit.
And I'd be like, it's okay, I'm in heaven. What if when I get to heaven, what if they hand me and you microphones and we become like the podcast guys?
I don't think that's happening. I love your thought. I love your ambition, but I don't think that's happening. They're probably like, keep the mics away from both of them people.
So, do we want the synopsis for this movie? Or,
yes, we do.
Yeah, let me give a synopsis for this movie. Okay, here we go. Oh my gosh, I got it. Car 54, two Bronx cops patrol the city like they won a radio contest to become police officers for a day. Officer Tootie is sweaty, frantic, and constantly yelling. Officer Muldoon looks like he's buffering in real life. Together, they investigate a mob boss running an illegal casino out of a funeral home because suddenly died before the script did. Then there's Rosie O'Donnell, who doesn't just chew the scenery, she swallows the entire cast, squad car included. Every line is delivered like she's trying to win a shouting contest with the siren. At one point, you're not sure if she's acting or just aggressively motivating the plot. Fran Drescher shows up and her voice files for its own screen credit. Spoiler, the cops accidentally bust the mob by being so loud and chaotic, the criminals surrender out of exhaustion. Real crime wasn't the casino, it was the runtime.
Yeah, I like that.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
I want to jump off before you go. Like, name another movie where you chose an actor and an actress with the most annoying voices in Hollywood in the same movie.
I don't think we've ever watched one on the show that had three annoying voices in it.
Yes, you are correct. Three. Although I will say Fran Drescher in this movie does not look like Fran Drescher.
I like how you're calling her Fran Drescher. Like she's
whatever
a dresser.
Her name is.
I think it's Drescher. Like,
whatever.
I like Fran Drescher though. I like Fran Drescher. She acts about as good as a dresser, so hey, there is that.
She does. But she actually looks decent in this movie.
Okay, she does. But in this movie I kept thinking, I'm so glad Ireland has Rosie O'Donnell now.
Yeah. She came back for a visit, but she's gone.
But I think she might be back, right?
No, she came back for a visit.
Yeah, but that visit turns into a stay.
It's true.
Yeah. You come back for a visit, but now you're staying.
That's true.
We do have a sponsor. But I'm not going to read a sponsor tonight. We have a new bit. We have a new game we want to play today. And as we're already f- 15 minutes.
Hey, that's fine.
Jacob, this game is called What Was Playing at the Theater when the movie that we're talking about, this can be any movie in the future, came out.
So Jacob, I actually narrowed it down because I wanted to be like, what would compete against this? Okay.
Nothing.
So this movie came out in January of 1994.
Oh, this was a January movie. Back when we were growing up, January movies were like bad movies. They dumped them in January.
They did. So here's what came out in January into the theaters. Okay. We have The Air Up There.
I've never seen that movie. That's the Kevin Bacon movie.
Kevin Bacon movie, yes. Cabin Boy.
I have seen that, I think. That's Chris Elliott.
House Party 3.
I wasn't ethnic enough to see that.
Iron Will.
Oh, that feels like one of those boring school movies.
It does. Body Snatchers.
Nah, it sounds good.
Death Wish 5, The Face of Death.
Charles Bronson's Death Wish. Oh, man. We should do that movie.
By the way, before I go to the next couple, I was going to start a drinking game on here every time Brad says we should do this movie.
we would all three be drunk.
We have Intersection.
Is that with Sharon Stone?
I think so. I believe
never so. Never seen it.
Blink.
No, I've never seen that either.
Golden Gate and Red Rock West. Those are all
I've
that came on.
I've never seen any of these movies.
So I've seen The Air Up There, and it's actually a really good movie. It's pretty, well, I mean, from what I remember, it's a really good movie.
So the gist of this is we read out what was playing, and we decide which movie would we have wanted to go see if we were going to the theater, or would we have seen Car 54, Where Are You?
I'm going to say if me and you were going together, we're going to see Body Snatchers.
I don't know. Intersection, man.
Yeah. Or Intersection. I mean, they're both horror, like the horror movie.
Intersection, this is Sharon Stone coming off Basic Instinct.
When did Basic Instinct come out?
92.
Okay, so yeah.
So I feel like I would have been like, Jacob.
Well, you would.
We got to see Sharon Stone. I heard she might take her top off.
I would not. I would want to go to the horror film.
Yeah, I would have wanted to see Body Snatchers. I would have seen. We should do Body Snatchers on it.
That's two.
I'm looking it up. I want to see what movie we're talking about here.
The Air Up There was good. What I remember about The Air Up There is Kevin Bacon is a college basketball coach, and he goes to Kenya to recruit this kid from one of the tribes who's really good at basketball. But it all backfires because another competing tribe is trying to take all their land for a basketball game, and they won't let... they won't let Kevin Bacon play in the game unless he, in lack of better terms, does the old what you did as a Israelite at the age of 8.
Oh, okay. So it was a good movie. It was a good Bacon movie.
It was. It was a decent Bacon movie.
I'm reading the synopsis of Body Snatchers. It's on Tubi right now. I want to watch this movie. I might watch it today.
Okay.
It's a teenage girl and her father discover alien clones are replacing humans on a remote military base in Alabama. At a gas station, a soldier tells her not to sleep because they get you when you sleep.
Oh.
In the base, she and her father see people acting odd and soon realize they're aliens in human form. This sounds so good, man.
It does sound good. I definitely would go see this over Car 54.
And wait, what's Intersection? I just want to see what that was. Let's see. Intersection. Richard Gere, Sharon Stone.
Oh, a Gere movie.
This one is, while driving on a remote highway, indecisive architect Vincent Eastman is torn between reuniting with his estranged, frigid, calculating wife. How many adjectives can they give one person?
Have I ever told you my funny Richard Gere story?
Wait, let me finish. And or taking up with his lover, Olivia Marshak, a magazine writer. Well, we know that wouldn't happen today. Nobody's dating a magazine writer who reads them Anyway, what was your funny story?
A Richard Gere story. So this is back in my troubled youth. My really good friend, his name was Richard, different last name. Okay? Ooh, okay. I won't say his last name. This goes in with this movie also, Car 54. The police were after him. So they call his house to see if he's home. And they do that by going, is Richard Gere there? And he goes, Richard Gere? There's no Richard Gere that lives here. And they're like, no, we have a Richard Gere that lives here. And he goes, no, my name is Richard. And he says his last name. So then now they know immediately he's at home. And they cloak and daggered him by calling him Richard Gere to make him say his own last name.
Oh, that's a power move from the car. Oh, my God. Dude, I want to watch Intersection 2, man.
That's 3. I already disliked this movie in the beginning because it started off with a musical number by the most annoying voice in the world.
The voice that kind of talks like this.
No, it's worse. I'd rather listen to that.
Yeah. You know,
you completely understand what he was saying half the time.
What's his name? David. What's his name? David. But no, what's his name?
David.
Buster Keaton.
Buster Keaton.
What's the guy's name?
I'm looking it up right now. What was his name? Buster?
No, it was David Johansen.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay. I learned this MTD from Jacob before we went live, that this is his least favorite thing we do, but we're about to do it.
Oh, boy.
You be producer guy, and I'm pitching it. I've got a movie for you. Okay, I have a movie I want to get made.
Okay, tell me the movie.
Well, you probably watched it growing up. It was a good movie. It was a TV show, had Herman Munster. Car 54, Where Are You?
Oh, so we're going to do Adam's Family.
No, Car 54, but I have voices straight from heaven. We're going to cast David Johansen. He was in Scrooged. We're going to cast him. His voice is amazing.
I mean, I'll pay the check. I trust you.
Okay, but I got another person I want to throw in there. I want to throw a little Rosie O'Donnell in as the love interest. We want to see her looking sexy. I know you like Rosie.
We can't get nobody else.
No, it's only Rosie. I'm only doing Rosie. We're going to get her because in a few years she's going to take one of our most beloved cartoon characters that we would think would be hot in real life. And she's going to play Betty Rubble. And I think, oh man, she ruined Betty Rubble. And then we're going to sprinkle a little Fran Drescher in there. We're going to have the trifecta of pleasant voices.
Are we going to add subtitles to this movie?
No, but nobody's going to come. This is going to be repellent to anyone that wants to watch a movie. This movie's going to make $100 million. I tell you, I bet you my career, $100 million.
All right, I'll take my bet. There was no way this movie was making $100 million on its best day.
What remakes were coming out in the 90s that they were like, oh man, we've got to remake Car 54?
Well, that, who, the casting, who was like, these are the people. Now, I will say, who was the new officer that comes? What's his name? The muscular guy.
I don't know. It's muscular guys. Well, let's just call him that. I don't care what his name is.
He's done some great movies.
Muldoon.
He's funny.
Muldoon. Was it Muldoon?
Yeah, Muldoon. Yeah. He's done some great movies. He was probably about the best one in the cast.
No, you're wrong.
What?
I dispute you. He was not the best one in the cast. Look, this movie started out sucky, listeners, because he's singing in the original, he's dreaming of, and he's in the original Car 54, Where Are You uniform, walking down the street, and he's singing, which, I mean, this song went on forever. But I would like to be a guy that gets to walk down the street and someone just hand me donuts. That would be nice. That's his dream. Like, we're seeing his dream. He's dreaming of any life that doesn't involve Rosie O'Donnell at this point. And
right.
But then we are introduced to his partner, who I would say best part of the movie, Grandpa Munster.
Yeah, okay.
I want to see the movie with those two cruising around. MTD, 100% Grandpa Munster in this movie.
He was in the original Car 54 show.
He was.
Yeah, okay.
He was. Him and Nipsey Russell, the black guy, was in the original. And that's it.
That's
it goes back to what producers were like, I've got this Rosie O'Donnell, man. I think she's a great wife. Like, there's no way she should be cast in this movie.
What was she doing around that time that they felt that she was the perfect fit?
Yeah, what was she doing? Nothing. Was she even a known star at that point? No.
I don't think so, because the Flintstones came after that.
And if we do the Flintstones, I got a bigger beef. Why in the world do you make Rosie O'Donnell Betty Rubble? Why?
There's number
Betty
four.
Was always a pretty cartoon character. Oh, no. Did you just say, oh, no?
No, he said that when you said you're about to do the producer bit.
Oh, okay. But why do you put Betty? Why is she Betty? Betty Rubble, I always thought, prettier than Wilma.
Oh.
On the hot scale, Betty Rubble, prettier than Wilma.
Okay. That's a hot take.
It is. But why? Who says we're going to have Betty Rubble? I want it to be Rosie O'Donnell.
I don't think I've ever spoke to anybody who watches the Flintstones like, you know, it's really hot, Betty Rubble. That's a first for me.
Hey, it's a first for most listeners, probably. I used to love the Flintstones. I would watch the cartoon a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and I was like, Betty's kind of pretty, man, for a cartoon. I do too. Thank you, MTD. She's prettier, right?
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
No. Just when I think I'm nothing like him, he pulls me back in. Oh, he said I didn't mean that. What?
Oh.
Oh, I think he means he thinks I'm weird, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Listeners, if you're listening right now, who think to yourself, I mean, I like the cartoon. Good. Okay. Yeah. Who was hotter, Wilma or Betty?
Hot take. Your next poll on Instagram. Go follow us on Instagram, Movie Torture, and cast your votes.
Who was prettier, Betty or Wilma? I vote as Betty. You stoop to a new level.
Seriously. But we're running with it.
So, Grandpa Munster, best partner. Like, a movie with this guy and the old man would have been great.
Yeah. I think it would have been, just like them getting into like shenanigans, I think would have been way better.
Just don't call it Car 54. Just call it like a cop movie with him and David Johansen cruising around doing cop. Basically, oh my gosh, this movie could have been Monkey Cop with Grandpa.
It could have been. Or like almost like a Super Troopers type movie, but
yeah,
in the 90s. Yeah.
Yeah, like we see a scene where Grandpa's getting high. He's like, you know, and he's talking about, and he's like, and he could say, I used to watch Car 54, Where Are You? And there could have been a funny joke of like, Car 50, huh? You know, it could have been, you could have played that joke.
They could have.
But they did.
They didn't. They went full on, let's make this like, was it even like the TV show?
I don't think, I've only watched the TV show a few times. I know probably little MTD sat in his Indian style and watched it. Can we say Indian style?
Well, you just did, so.
Crisscross applesauce, watched in front of the TV.
Yeah, it's like, oh man,
but
like. A few episodes.
Jacob, we got to say, so Grandpa Monster gets injured and he's in the hospital watching himself.
He was.
And the monsters.
Yes. Which is okay, but to your point, you're making Car 54 Where Are You. Why would he not be watching Car 54 Where Are You?
That would have been funnier. Because he's watching a young him work at a cop, and he could have said, "Wow, that guy looks kind of like me," and that would have been a funny joke.
It would have been like, hilarious. It's like, wow, like why they chose the monsters?
Like, I just thought about something. Would this movie have been better had they made it in the six? Had they made it set it in the 60s, and he's watching a clip of him, and he's like, there's another guy that looks like me in the police, and they spend the whole movie looking for the Car 54, other Car 54 cast. Like, they go, they're trying, where's this guy at? We need to find, that would have been funnier.
He's like living in this alter reality.
Yes, he's incepted. He's inception.
He's being inception.
He's being inception. But that would have been way better, right, Jacob?
I think anything would have been way better for this movie.
I do we see Grandpa Mustard again after that?
We do for like a hot second. It's really quick.
Like really he was quick. Like, okay. So for listeners that don't know, Fred Gwynn was the star of Car 54. I think he played Muldoon, maybe, or the other one.
That's the big muscular guy, right?
I think he played the other guy, the David Johansen role.
Oh, okay.
And Fred Gwynn was like, "Yeah, I'm not coming back for this movie. I'm not gonna do it. I gotta do My Cousin Vinny. I gotta do, you know, I'm on the hills of Pet Sematary. I can't be doing Car 54, Where Are You?" And so, you think he watched this and he was like, "Man, I'm glad I didn't have to do this movie. Man, I'm so glad."
Probably. I mean, Cousin Vinny was a way better movie.
Yeah, he was the judge. He was also Herman Munster. Oh,
okay, yeah.
When did he die? Fred Gwynn died in... Oh, no, Fred Gwynn never saw this movie. He died in 93.
So
this movie was on the shelf.
Sure.
So he luckily never had to watch it.
Yeah, even the plot to this movie made no sense.
Like, I don't even understand the plot. Like, do you understand
This new young muscular cop comes in and he's implementing a new system to track people. Like, it's kind of the whole ordeal, I guess. But he's a very straight-laced cop. Oh, the bit is funny, though, when he gets hooked up with that girl. And it's like the girl that hooks up with all the police officers. But he loves her.
Oh, yeah. Is that Fran Drescher?
It is. Yeah.
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 But you don't see Fran. We don't meet Fran until like an hour into the movie, right?
It's way late into the movie, yeah.
This movie, for a crap movie, has some star power.
I know your favorite scene in this movie. I'm surprised you haven't talked about it yet.
I was waiting. You go ahead and say it.
I know you were excited to watch the Rosie O'Donnell makeout scene. I've never seen Brad so excited during a movie. He's like, "This is amazing."
So there was a Rosie O'Donnell movie that she was hot off of Flintstones.
Okay.
And I remember seeing a preview for this movie. I must have been 16 at the time. And it was called Exit to Eden. Have you heard of this movie?
I don't think I have, no.
Oh my gosh. If we almost should do this movie on here.
There's number five.
Future movie torture. Because it's got Dan Aykroyd.
Okay.
Which you would normally have me in Dan. I like Dan Aykroyd.
I'm with you on that. Yep.
And it's got Rosie O'Donnell in the movie. And in the preview, they're wearing leather. Like, leather outfits, like they're into bondage.
Oh, gross.
And I'm like, Yeah, I don't know if I want to see Rosie O in like leather bondage spanking Dan Aykroyd with a paddle. I don't think that that's a. I don't understand why this movie. Who was marketing it and was like, "Oh, the boys are gonna love Rosie O'Donnell in some leather." Like, who? Who is this for?
That's gross. MTD.
Just like, who is this movie for?
We could live off the next 6 years on movie torture with the backlog of movies we said we're going to do on this show.
Hey, I never said I was going to do Body Snatchers, but I want to watch it. It sounds really good. And Jacob's like, we should do Predator Badlands. And I tried watching that. I got like 15 minutes into it. And I'm like, this movie, I can't even. Who wants to watch Predator language that they've made up? Like, and it's like they're subtitling it for me.
Hey, that is the premise of the show you created, my friend, is watching the bad and the terrible.
Although we do get good ones every now and then.
We do. We get some surprises in there.
We get some surprises. So back to this movie. He's a straight-laced guy. David Johansen's making out with Rosie O'Donnell. She probably was like, ugh, they're like kissing men.
Like, and, is he a crooked cop? Is that what I'm getting from? Like,
is he a crooked cop?
It's hard to tell. Like, is he just like, he seems like a crooked cop, but he's like,
nice.
Or he's taking advantage of a lot of perks of being a cop in that city.
I think he's taking advantage of perks. I think he's too dumb to be crooked.
Because he looks like he's well respected in the department.
He is. But, oh, that'd been funny if his partner was like, what's the department that investigates the cops?
I don't remember. But I know
it'd be funny
about.
If his partner
internal
was,
affairs.
Yeah, was internal affairs, and he was like investigating.
That'd be funny, right?
It'd be bad. Then,
they think he's crooked, but he's really not. He's just
an idiot.
He's just like on that borderline of being an idiot. So
yeah, he's just a simpleton. and then the guy goes to at the end of the movie, the internal affairs guy reports back to him, and he goes, the only crime he's committed is marrying that old bag, Rosie O'Donnell.
That'd be funny. Like, it just, the guy's an idiot. Like,
he goes to trial, and it's like a Few Good Men. And he's like, you can't handle Rosie O'Donnell. And then it's like constant, like, this movie's way better. We've described a better movie.
We have. I'm concerned of your fixation on Rosie O'Donnell.
I know.
We might have to have an intervention.
She's the worst part of this movie, though. So we've also got, I thought you were going to say my favorite scene. My actual favorite scene is Daniel Baldwin. I guess he's like the mob boss.
He's the mob. I know what your favorite scene is. I just had to roast you with the,
I know what your favorite scene is. He has a circle around his desk. Where
you cannot cross.
You cannot cross it. And I texted it to Matt, my boss, and I'm like, we need these in our offices. So people, when they come in, they know, don't come inside my orbit.
I would enter the circle.
Then I'd have my goons take you out.
Do you have an inner circle? The people that can come in. You have your outer circle where
you're
one comes in.
You're in the inner circle.
But you have your inner circle that only select people can come in.
Ooh, it's kind of like, I have the 3-point line and then the college 3-point line.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So like, if you're in there with someone else that doesn't know me, they have to stay outside the NBA 3-point line. You can come in to the college 3-point line. They're looking at you like, what? And you're like, I'm in the circle.
And it's got like a mechanism somehow, some way to where it knows like if you're in the inner circle or not. So if you try to cross that first line and you're not in the inner circle,
you
get shocked, zapped.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. A zapper. People are constantly coming in, getting zapped in front of me.
Yeah. Until they learn that you don't cross that line until you've been invited into the inner circle.
I would like that. I want that. Let's do it.
There's a button on your desk and you just hover over the button. Ooh. Like, do you want to chance it? Do you think you're in the inner circle? Try it.
The last guy that had a button got fired from the Today Show.
It's true.
He had a button at his desk.
But I'm just saying.
I don't want people walking in my office and me going, beep, and my door going.
Like, you have all the power, so they have to take the risk. Do they get shocked, or do they feel you're in the inner circle?
Is there a ceremony where I promote you to inner circle.
There should be. There should be.
My inner circle would be very thin.
No, you never tell them if they're in the inner circle or not. That's part of the risk.
Oh, you just assume.
You're assuming you're in the inner circle, so you're probably going to get your feelings hurt.
What if you go into my circle and I'm like, sorry, dog.
Hey, that's the risk you take, man.
MTD's like, I'm your dad. Not today. He meets his demise in the inner circle. Oh my gosh, we just killed him off one more time.
But what if, I don't understand the circle though. Like, you're still, people are bugging you. It's not like you're keeping people away from you. They just can't come close to you. So you're still dealing with people.
You're still peopling.
Right. You
know? So I never. Maybe he's like, I don't want to get any COVIDs.
Well, I think he didn't want people messing with his stuff on his desk.
Did he have anything on his desk that's messable?
Not really, but maybe that was the deal.
I remember I used to see people, I'd go and be on their desk, those things back in the 90s where they were like pins and you could push your hand in it.
Oh, yeah.
Those were big in the 90s, man.
Or everybody had those things, or the kinetic, but like they were like, yeah.
Yeah. They should have had a couple of those little gadgets on his desk. He would look like he went to Spencer's.
Or the bird that like.
Oh, yeah. They should have gave him like a funny phone too. You know, like one of those phones you always wanted.
The see-through phone.
Yeah. So I remember when I was a kid, MTD, do you remember we used to have a Mickey Mouse phone at our house? Like, you would hang it up on the Mickey would hold the phone. It was really cool. I was like, wow, this is a boss phone.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. But it had a cord.
But then, yeah, so then this elite police force at this point is tasked because they have a whistleblower within the mob organization, but he's as dumb as the police are and barely escaping being murdered.
Are we talking about the guy from Entourage?
Yeah.
What's his name?
I can't remember.
Jeremy Piven. Piven's in this movie, yeah.
Yeah, and he's always just escaping these murder attempts by killing other people around him.
MTD says he's lost us. He's gone.
Oh. Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, well, he's got to listen. That's unfortunate.
I guess we just found out who the inner circle is.
I zapped him out.
Brad deleted him out. He's like, boop. You're getting a phone call after this.
He's texting me right now. He's like, must be the Wi-Fi.
Oh, man.
Or it could be your end. It's not my end.
No, he's probably, what he's not telling us, he's probably sitting at the beach right now trying to watch this. And it's like, he's losing his signal.
It's not our end, because we've been fine, though. My Wi-Fi's been good since I fixed it. It's not my end.
Yeah.
It's got to be his beach Wi-Fi.
He's on his way to the hot dog stand, and he's losing his signal.
He said Anna's waiting. The real thing is he had to get kicked off. She's like, you got to go. We got to eat.
She's in the doorway tapping her foot like, we got to go.
He's like, those hot dogs need some eating.
Did you feel through this movie like you understood anything that was going on? Because I sure didn't.
He keeps texting me, are you still recording?
Yes, we are recording. We are live and thriving. Like, I never understood what was going on in this entire movie. I didn't understand the plot, what they were trying to do. It was all weird.
I didn't understand anything about this movie.
No. Like, none of it made... Nothing was like... It was... you hit it on the head when you said, like, the sets look like an SNL cast, but that's also how the movie felt. Like, it was just these comic clips, if you want to call them comic, and put them together to piece together a movie.
If they had just called You and Me,
we would have made $1.7 million.
You could have, if you want to pay homage to Car, make this a black and white movie, like the old movie. Like, right. Like, do something to make this unique, there's nothing unique about this movie other than it's not unique.
Or make it like an actual like couple episodes from Car 54 and reimagine them in movie form, basically.
That would be easier. Or I like my idea of making Monkey Cop with the old man, or making him, making them search for the actual Car 54
right
cops, I mean, that are living. That so would be so much options. Funnier.
You could have go yeah. with this.
We should remake Car 54, Where Are You?
Brad, just like your fashion for adding more list movies to our list, you have like 16 movies on hold and a TV show that you're supposed to be producing.
Yeah. So we should, though, if we could get our paws on the franchise that is Car 54.
Here's a funny recap. Here's a funny recap. So between all of our movie lists, your show ideas that you're supposed to get produced and made, we were supposed to do a read through with multiple cast members of Troll 2. We were supposed to do another read through of another movie. I can't remember which movie it was.
So you're basically saying our show writes checks it never cashes. We're like that deadbeat dad that promises the kid take you to Disney World. I promise.
I'm coming over this weekend. I promise. And then you never
be there. Daddy got delayed. My new girlfriend, who I met at the bar. Daddy had a long night last night. Oh,
that's amazing.
We're like the dad that never comes through. Although.
We show up when it matters.
Although, I will say this. I don't know if this could be airing after or before.
Yeah.
The Scream Queen herself is coming back for an episode.
So she agreed to do Scream 7,
huh? She said this is her Hall of Fame is Scream. And taking a lot of medication. She has a big announcement. I'm going to save the announcement for the show.
However, but she realizes I'm not putting gloves on.
No, no, this ain't for the faint of heart. Listeners, if you want to see us beat up on a poor woman movie idea.
No, we didn't beat her up. She was just not happy with our opinion about Scream 4.
That was the one time, listeners, I thought she was going to just log off.
I'm surprised she didn't, because it was. The fire was coming through the screen. The daggers were coming out.
She has not made an appearance since that episode.
She cut us off. She was like, nah.
She's like, nah, I'm good. That's not, I don't want to do that. But I like how MTD's still talking to me. Like, he's like, I guess, but I still can't connect. I don't understand why. It's got to be on his end.
It's got to be on his end, yeah.
Ashley said, she said in her response, I was like, so we want you to come back and talk about Scream 7. She said 150%, it's my Super Bowl.
Until we tear you down.
We can say whatever we want about Ashley on here. She doesn't listen, right?
No, she doesn't.
There's no way she listens to our show, right?
No.
No, not a chance. She would like this one, though, because it's got Fran Drescher, and she loves the nanny.
She does like Drescher. I don't think she would like this movie, though.
No, MTD misses Ashley, which I never thought I'd hear him say.
He misses her. I told you, he's done with our shenanigans. He wants the ladies back.
I need the chicks. Where are the chicks? So anyway, this movie ends, blah, blah, blah. Jacob, do you have any bad reviews? I'm sure you do.
I'm sure there's like 800 of them. This was so bad. It's almost funny how unfunny it was. It was not a single joke lands, but the reason it's not a half star is because they truly believe this was funny, and it had me baffled by how stupid it was. That is a very accurate bad review.
Baffled how stupid
it is. It's easy to tell from the opening song that this is disjointed. Whoa, then he went to a different language. A lot of the same. Absolutely terrible movie based on one of the funniest TV shows of all time. Painful. I wouldn't say Car 54 is the most funniest TV show out there.
Yeah.
That's what I got. Oh, this one. This one's perfect. This is the last bad review. It just goes, oofta.
Oh, I like that. They're from Minnesota. I have a few 5 stars, Jacob.
Last week?
No. The closest one I have, Brooke S., which I would never want to watch a movie with Brooke. May 8th, 2024, which is still crazy to me.
That's pretty still up there. That is up
there. That's within 2 years. Watch for yourself. It's quite a hilarious movie without trying to overdo it. Loved the cast.
They very much overdid it without being funny.
David Baldwin. Is this Daniel's brother, maybe? Ooh. I loved it. Go figure. Judging by preponderance of 1-star reviews, I must be a majority of one in my adulation for this flick. He's using big words. For whatever reason, it struck a chord with me. I bought this at the store. He bought a DVD. Maybe it has something to do with my affinity for David Johansen. I don't think I've heard anyone ever say that. I was fortunate to see him live 4 times.
Okay.
He brings that manic energy to Car 54. The deliciously eclectic cast that includes John C. McGinley, Jeremy Piven, Fran Drescher, Nipsey Russell, and Grandpa Al Lewis. Even the odious Rosie couldn't ruin this flick for me. This movie is not so much funny, but goofy in a surreal kind of way. It owes itself to Police Academy or Naked Gun. Oh, I love this movie, so shoot me. Well, can we shoot him? Where do we line up at? I mean, seriously, David.
Oh, man.
That was a good one, though. But
that was a good
one. And then Devlin wrote in 2016, 5 stars, love the Penn and Teller bit in this movie, which we didn't talk about.
We did, but
okay, let's get back to this other review. This guy said Rosie didn't ruin it. Would you put this movie in the vein of Police Academy or Naked Gun? Police Academy, this movie could not hold the jock of Police Academy.
Correct, agreed.
We've talked about doing Police Academy, Back to the Beach, or whatever. Jacob, I'm going to get you drunk before this is over. We talked about doing that, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. I would bet that movie's got to be better than this one.
Oh, 100%. I mean, maybe when you get later into the Police Academies, but they would probably still be better than this movie.
The new Naked Gun, which you and I both did not like.
Correct.
I would actually put the new Naked Gun on my worst of the year list.
I would, but I would watch that again over having to watch this.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, it's still a million times better than Car 54.
At least that new one had some funny clips in it.
They were not shelving Police Academy for 4 years.
No.
They knew this movie was a steaming turd.
There's only one reason why you postpone a movie for 4 years, and that's because, you know it's terrible.
Now, I know the studio was selling, but if this was today, they would have just dropped this on Tubi.
To try to cash in as much money as you can.
Yeah, they would have. Tubi. Yeah. This would be played on Tubi, and honestly, Tubi movies are better than this.
A lot of them are, yes.
Jacob, movie torture, movie gold.
This is going to be a first. And they may anger you.
Yeah, right. I know you're lying.
But this was a movie double torture.
Ooh, a double torture.
It was horrendous. Was this the movie we both watched when we were deadly sick?
Yes.
And it was 10 times worse because of that factor.
We didn't tell the listeners. We watched this on my TV in the basement. And both of us were like,
just dying on the couch. Suffering from this horrendous movie.
We had the choice between this and The Quick and the Dead, and we chose this. Oh, I wish we would have chose Quick and the Dead, honestly.
Yeah.
My wife was like, y'all are just doing this to yourself. Why do you do this? You're right. Why?
We do it finally, for you, fans. We do it for
Jacob's like, I got to go home. My wife's like making him tea, and she was like medicated, and
she was so sweet. She took care of me.
She did.
But yeah, double movie torture.
Kristen's hands are still what I've done wrong. Jacob, I'm going to give us a triple torture.
That's fair. That's fair.
It's not okay. The only reason this movie is not worse than the worst movie ever made.
You will never let it die. You will not let it die.
The worst movie ever made, Joker 2, is because Joker 2 lasted double the time this movie lasted. Now,
that's true.
This movie was hour 25. Felt like 2 hours 50.
Well, you add the Tubi commercials.
I'm getting to the point now where I'm just like, dude, should we just rent the $4 and skip the Tubi commercials? Because it's getting old. I hate the Tubi commercials.
Well, here's the thing. Tubi commercials at the beginning were not that horrendous. Now it's like every 10 minutes you get 7 commercials.
Yeah, but I will say Tubi commercials not as obnoxious as Plex commercials.
That's true.
Or Pluto TV commercials.
Correct.
So, but Tubi, and they go to commercials at the weirdest spot. Like, it's like, I gotta tell you, next on, we're gonna watch UMC Live. It's just like, then it comes back to Diet. And it's like you miss the.
Exactly.
They do it at like the worst moments. They cut the commercial.
Man,
I wish Tubi would sponsor our show, and then we could just do all Tubi movies.
As you just complained about them in their commercials.
Yeah, I would like to talk to someone about their commercial placement. Okay, let me ask you this: would you, as a Tubi guy, would you rather start a movie and the first 5 minutes is nothing but commercials before you can ever watch it, and then you get the movie straight? I would prefer that.
Yeah.
Because I would just turn it on and go do something.
But that's why they won't do that, because they know that's exactly what everybody would do.
I would just be like, okay, I'll be back in 5.
Right.
Or what if it was random and you didn't know how long the commercials would go and you might be gone and miss the start? So, like, you could get a 40-second block of commercials or a 2-minute 40-second block.
Here's what I would love to know. Even better question. How much are people paying to advertise on Tubi? Because there's like
a lot.
Billion commercials on Tubi.
I just realized something they could do. What if they did the move where you didn't break the commercial, but they just shrunk the size a little bit and showed on the side Lipitor or any drug that they're advertising?
I have one better for you.
Okay.
Even with all the Tubi commercial, I think they're doing better than most streaming services nowadays. Because what are most streaming services nowadays doing? Either you pay a way higher premium price and you get no commercials, or you pay the price that they always used to charge, but yet you're going to get flooded with commercials. So not only are you getting flooded with commercials, you're paying for those commercials.
You're not paying anything for Tubi.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. Tubi, at least you're not paying for anything. You're getting commercials to where like Netflix, Paramount, HBO Max, all these other ones are like, yeah, we'll charge you what we used to charge you, but you're going to watch a bunch of commercials. Otherwise, you can pay us a heck of a lot more money and we won't make you watch commercials.
So Fox owns Tubi.
Yeah.
So Fox knows what they're doing, man. That's like their Netflix. And Tubi gets good stuff now. And last year they had the Super Bowl. When Fox had the Super Bowl, it was on Tubi. I mean,
and they're getting a lot of newer movies.
They are. I'm with you, man. I think. You don't have Netflix anymore, right?
No.
I love how we're still going on. Nobody's listening now. They're like, okay, you've already said movie torture.
This is the best part of the show right here. They're listening.
You got to get the Netflix back because there's a few movies on there.
That we could tell people that we're going to do a movie torture.
My goal is to do that. Can we do a movie? Can we do a reread? Can we do a table read with just me and you doing all the characters of a movie?
That would actually be pretty funny.
Oh my god. Hello.
Right, exactly. That would be funny.
Oh, we should do that. Did we just write another check? We sure did.
We got a thick book. We got a thick book.
Jacob, I think you and I, oh my gosh, Should we do a table read of Dukes of Hazzard the beginning?
We should. We can make it funny, but that movie is so bad I don't want to read it.
It's so bad. I'm glad we got that episode out of the way.
Oh, man.
Anyway, for MTD, for Jacob, my name is Brad, and that, my friends, was Car 54. Where are you from the big year of 1994? What a movie.
Boom.
We'll see you next week on Movie Torture.